So I'm going to be speaking a bit about kind of what I did this fall, and then also just going to be sharing a little bit on why I think that God's word is important, so just the importance of God's word. And so I'll start off with sharing a bit about what I was doing this fall. So in September, like the middle of September till the middle of December, I was gone to Norway. I went and did like a three-month Bible school there. And so I was studying the Bible inductively. So that's just like, instead of coming to the Bible with your mind kind of made up about it, or studying it deductively, we were studying inductively. So it's coming with like an open mind to God's word. And kind of the method, in a really easy to remember way, is that you, first of all, you pray before you read God's word. And then you read God's word, of course. And then you look at it and you observe it kind of for what the text says. And then the other step is that you interpret it for what, first of all, what the author was intending to convey to his audience, and also what the first reader was actually, what they were actually reading and what they interpreted in the cultural context. Because sometimes we'll read God's word and then just like, oh yeah, that rightly applies to me, but then we kind of miss all this stuff along the way. And then the other step is application, actually the doing part of it. Because if we're just hearers and not doers of God's word, then we're kind of missing what Jesus was talking about. And then the other part of that is sharing it as well. So that's kind of the method that we use to study God's word. And so we studied through about 14 books of the Bible, and using that method. So we'd read through it as a group, first of all, and then we would read through again and do these wonderful things called paragraph titles, which is like, so for each paragraph in the Bible, we would have to make a title with four words, but the four words had to be from the text and they had to be found fairly close to each other. So for some of the books, it was took quite a bit of time, but it actually is really cool because then it makes you really look really closely into God's word and kind of like what, trying to sum it up, it's like, how do I put this in four words? So it was really cool. And then we would have teaching on it, and they would kind of expand on the type of literature that was in the book and also kind of a bit of the background information, because all the books that are in the Bible, they're written in entirely different times. Like something, a book from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and even New Testament books, sometimes they're written at quite different times or even to different groups, so there's a lot of information that's different for each one of those people. So we'd look at that, and then we would kind of look into it and interpret it, and then we would apply it to our lives. And so it was 12 weeks, the school, and then right in the middle of the school, there was a week where we went to Israel just on a study trip for like about a week and got to go around some of the sites in Israel. And anyways. I know. Just stare all you want. It's wonderful. And yeah. So then we looked through each of the books, and it was a really awesome time. So then like Monday to Friday we'd have classes, and then usually it was like Monday to Friday classes, and then afternoon was studying, and then up late at night studying, and that was, but you guys know that, you're students as well. So that was fun. And then Saturday was a study day as well, and it was usually pretty filled up as well. And then Sunday was typically hike day, so we'd all jump in a van and drive to a mountain and go hike. Hiking, what? But you have to get there, though. Sometimes it's too far. Sometimes good hikes take a bit of driving.
Could have been a hitchhike.
It's true. Still hiking, yeah. So I just want to read a bit of what I wrote to kind of sum up. I wrote this back when I was in Norway, and this is kind of summing up my time when I was away. And so I'm just going to read this to you guys. I want to start by saying that these are just my words, and they don't come close to describing God for who he really is. He is so much bigger than my words can communicate, And he is so much better than my words can describe. He is so much more powerful than I can even comprehend. My God is awesome. Over the past 12 weeks, studying God's word, living in God's living and active word, I have discovered so many things about God and have been reminded of so much about him. These are a few of the characteristics or aspects of him that I have discovered. So many things about God. Oh, sorry, I started a different place. These are a few of the characteristics and aspects of him that I've discovered. These are the characteristics of God that I've discovered or was reminded of. God is sovereign. Jesus is king. God is a just judge. Jesus is my forerunner. Jesus is better than everything, which is kind of something we're going into right now. Chris is doing a series on Hebrews. God is the creator. God is a friend. God is love. God is merciful. God restores. God redeems. And God is good. So those are just kind of like 12 things that I found throughout my 12 weeks of studying God's word. God is sovereign throughout the whole Bible. But while studying books in the Old Testament like Amos, Ezra, and 1 and 2 Kings, and Joshua, and even New Testament books like Hebrews and Revelation, this is something that really stood out to me. What really stands out to me about God's sovereign nature is that he is the ultimate ruler and he is in control even when it doesn't seem like he is. That he is over all authorities on earth and in heaven. Jesus is king. What a powerful thing that no human king is perfect, but Jesus is the perfect king and he is ruling and reigning. In the book of Revelation, I saw Jesus in a new way, that he is conquering and ruling. He is my king. God is a just judge. This is something that was hard to understand before. How God would just wipe out a whole nation, but a whole people group, and it would just be destroyed. God is a just judge, and he judges the whole world by his standard, not by the world's standard of justice. It is such an amazing thing that though God is just because there is so much injustice in the world, he will judge it all. Also with this, I saw that how God is so merciful because he has always gave a second chance, or at least a people knew that they were doing wrong. It just speaks to me how God is not any single thing. He is fully just and fully merciful. Sometimes it is hard for my Greek mindset to get, but God is perfect, just, and merciful. Jesus is my forerunner. He came and died, he sacrificed his body, and he entered into the Holy of Holies and made a way that I can enter into God's presence. He is the founder and perfecter of my faith. He came and was tempted and lived and set an example so that I could come after and live in the freedom that he won on the cross. Jesus is the anchor for my soul and my hope. He entered into the inner place behind the curtain and is the forerunner. Jesus is the sacrifice and the high priest that he made a way so that I could enter the Holy of Holies. Jesus is better than everything. In Hebrews, where it talks about Jesus being better than Aaron, better than Moses, better high priest, a better sacrifice, making a better covenant, Jesus is better than anything in this world. It is so powerful because I didn't understand why or how much better he was in all these things. But that all these things in the Old Testament just pointed to Jesus, that he is better than everything. God is the creator. This is something that I already knew but discovered in a new way. He created all people in his image, that I am created in God's image, and that we were created in our image, that we were created in the image of a triune God, the Father, Holy Spirit, and the Son. That each detail of the world was made and created by him and through him. That Jesus was the one the world was made through. That God created, and when it was destroyed through sin, he made a new place and made the promised land and a new heaven that we look forward to. God is a friend. I discovered in the Old Testament that with Abraham, Moses, and Joshua, and many others, that God was their friend. That he enjoyed being with them and really was their friend. Abraham is described as being God's friend, that him and God walked close to each other and spent time together and had a strong friendship, and that God is my friend. God is love. This is something that I saw only in the New Testament. Reading and studying the Old Testament, I discovered so much of God's love. He loved his people so much that as soon as sin entered, he made a way through Jesus to rescue all people from sin. How much he loves his people and poured out blessing on them. His steadfast love endured even when they strayed away from what he had commanded them. He was faithful to his promise over and over and poured out his love on his people. God is merciful. When people really deserve to die because they went against God, he had mercy on them. God's mercy and grace just permeates throughout the whole Bible. I have never seen this in such a powerful way before, that even in situations like when God destroys whole nations in Joshua, he is merciful to Rahab, the prostitute, and her whole family because of her act of faith. God restores. It was powerful looking into Genesis 1-3 and Revelations 20-22, the first three books and the last three books of the Bible, and how he will restore what was lost. God restored what was lost in the garden, or he will restore. God restores nations, people's lives, and he makes all things new. As soon as sin entered, he began to make a way to restore us to relationship with him. God is our Redeemer. When I studied the Old Testament, I saw how over and over God redeems his people and even people from Gentile nations. Redemption is a common thread throughout the whole Bible, and I saw it at the start with Philemon, that was the first book we studied, and right through the whole book of the Bible, even in Haggai, which is the last book that we studied as well. God redeems broken situations. Through what Jesus did on the cross, I have been redeemed, and we've all been redeemed. God is good. Something I discovered throughout the whole Bible is how God is so good. All his ways are good, and everything he does is good. This can seem basic, but it's something that really rocks me over and over, that God is good to the core. He only plans what is good for those who love him. In conclusion, these are only my words and thoughts and what I have seen of God in this amazing book that he has given to us. There is so much more than just these few characteristics, but these are just a few I wanted to highlight. Our God is awesome. So that was just a little bit of kind of summing up my whole study of the different books. You can all just watch me drink some water. Wonderful. I don't think I've ever had that many people stare at me while I drink some water. It was wonderful. Thank you, guys. So yeah, I'm going to be sharing, first of all, does everybody have Bibles? Okay, awesome. You guys want to turn to John 5. I don't think it's the same page in my Bible. Does anybody know that? 640? Okay, 640, guys. So just to set this up a little bit, Jesus is speaking to the Jews. And Jews were quite proud people. They kind of thought, you know what, we're God's people. Everyone else is kind of like, eh, but we're God's people. And they're kind of, Jesus kind of shows up on the scene and he says, I'm God's son. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Who are you saying you are? I don't know about that. Like, that sounds a little crazy. They weren't really what, Jesus really wasn't what they were expecting in their Messiah. And so they were kind of like, whoa, don't be saying these things. So then Jesus says to them, and we're starting verse 39. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Someone want to read it in your guys' version too? Someone want to stand up and read it? No one want to read it? Okay, thank you. Awesome. Thanks, Faith. 39 and 40. Mm-hmm. the Jews put a lot of weight in like kind of going to the scriptures and that God had given them this word. And Jesus said, all these scriptures that you guys have, they're witness to me and they point to me. And that's kind of what I want, that we don't just put our whole importance in something, but that God's word points to someone. It's not just a book that's on a shelf, but it's a book that points to Jesus. It's a book that from the very beginning, as I mentioned lots of times, that it always, even when everything went wrong, God made a plan to rescue us through Jesus. And it's a book that just climaxes at Jesus. It's like he is everything that this book speaks about, and he's all this book is about. And so he's talking to them and saying, why are you putting such importance in these scriptures? Because if you really read these scriptures for what they were, you would realize that I am the Son of God, and I'm the one that has been promised for so many years, and I'm the one that this is all pointing to. And so are we looking to someone or something that's like of importance in our life other than Jesus? Are we putting importance on school? Are we putting importance on how well we do? Are we putting importance on a gadget? Are we putting importance on kind of what we want to do, our job or something? But are we really putting importance where it needs to be? Are we really looking to the one that's really important? Are we looking to Jesus? That's one of the questions I want to ask. And I want you guys to also flip to Hebrews. Hebrews 4, 11 to 13. Yeah, shout out the page number once you find it, because it's not the same anymore. Chapter 4.
728.
Yes, well done. 728. Yeah, chapter 4. So chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 11 and read to verse 13. So, let us therefore strive to enter the rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. What is your guys' first, when I read that, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Just say a few things. Two-edged sword, cool. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, yeah, how sharp it is, yeah. Anything else? How it cuts us, yeah. Pierces, yeah. Pierces pretty deep too, hey? It talks about to the spirit and the soul and like to the marrow. And do you guys know where the marrow is? Yeah, exactly. So it pierces pretty deep, right? And I think this can seem like, does this verse scare anyone at first intention a little bit? Like cutting deep, that sounds pretty harsh, right? And like for me, studying God's word, it was that. God's word is living and active. It's something that it's not just a book, like a history book on the shelf that just talks about some stuff that's happened, even though it is that too. But it's living and active. It's still alive. And the Holy Spirit breathes life into it and brings it to alive. So it's still relevant today. It's still it has just as much and more relevance today than it ever did. And it's living and active. But the part where it talks about it being a two-edged sword, sometimes that's when we're kind of living our own life and doing what we want, or, and just, it, you're reading it and it like cuts deep to something like, oh, I didn't know that that was, shouldn't be doing that. maybe I should deal with that. And there was a lot of times where it was even just small behavioral things in my life that I'd be reading God's word or studying it, and it would just cut deep into me and be like, okay, I guess I need to line up with God's word, because that's the way I want to live my life. I want to live my life by what this book says, because that's just honestly the best. Yeah. And that nothing is hidden from his sight. And I was talking about from God's sight. And all are naked and exposed to the eyes to him. We must give account. But there's something awesomely freeing about these verses, because even though it seems harsh, it's like piercing into us. There's this amazing freedom that everything you do and everything that you think, God sees it all. So even when we put on masks in front of other people and we kind of maybe don't show our true selves, but that God sees who we really are. And there's something awesomely freeing in that, that you don't have to hide from him. That he knows exactly who you are. And in Psalms, it actually says that he knit you together in your mother's womb. So he's created you and he knows who you are. And I think God knows who we are often better times than we know who we are ourselves. So there's something freeing about that. You don't have to hide, because God sees it all. He knows everything. Yeah. And I'm going to go switch over to Joshua. So now we've been in the New Testament. Let's go to the Old. Oh, yeah. So Joshua 1.
Really? I love the smell of the Bible.
I love the smell of the
Bible. Yes, 130.
Not this book. Which
number? 130. 130? Good job. Joshua 1 and verses 6 to 10. Or sorry, 6 to 9. All right. Joshua 1, 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may have good success in wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I think that's something, when I was preparing for tonight, that's something that God wants to speak to all of us here tonight. What's something that you really noticed pop up a few times in these verses? Yes, yeah. So God is talking to Joshua, and Joshua was the guy that came after Moses. And Moses was the guy that led the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. So Moses leads them out, and then they're kind of just right on the edge, and God had promised to them that he's going to bring them into this land, this promised land. It was like this amazing area that had just like so many good things. It was like full of like awesome like plants, animals, and produce and stuff. And God was just like, this is an awesome place of land. You're going to enjoy it. So he promised it to them. So Moses leads the Israelites to this point. Joshua's kind of been following around him, behind him, kind of second in command for a while. And Moses dies, and then Joshua's to take command. And they're going to go in this land, but it wasn't just like, oh yeah, here's the land, there's nobody there. Other people were there because it was kind of like this good place of land. So they were kind of on this cusp of like, they had to cross a river and then go conquer this place. So, and Joshua's leading like a lot of people, like a million and a bit people. So there was a lot of people. So just even just leading that size of nation would be pretty crazy. So God starts commanding him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Remember, be strong and courageous. And so one of the other things that God commands them in this is he says to this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will be prosperous, and then you will have good success. So one of the strategies that God gives to Joshua, when he has all this thing, he has to lead this nation, they have to go conquer this land, he commands them to be strong and courageous. And one of the things about courage, it doesn't mean that you don't fear, but it means that you continue to push on, and it doesn't mean that you don't have any fear, but that you just push on, right? And one of the strategies that God gives Joshua is to meditate on the law. And that's to meditate on God's word. And I think that's one of the strategies for you guys as young people, that you would meditate on this book, that you would know it, that you would continually be in it, that you would... Jesus, when the devil came to tempt him, he said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And isn't it awesome that we can live by God's word, that we can go into God's word, that we can meditate on it, and we can read it, because it's something that gives us life. But the awesome thing about it is it's not just this book that we read and that we meditate in, but it points us to a person. It points us to a relationship, that we can actually know a person through reading this book, that Jesus wants to have a relationship, and this book is kind of part of that, that we can know him through it. And so that's something I also want to just commend you guys in, is be strong and courageous. Put your trust in God, and God's word is given to us so that we can know him more. So really, really get into God's word and meditate on it and read it. But push into Jesus. Don't just look to the scriptures, but look to Jesus. Yeah. Okay. One more place I want you guys to flip. I want you to go to Psalms 1. Awesome. Okay, we're going to do Psalms 1, 1 to 3. Okay. So, Psalms 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Does that kind of sound familiar to what we just read in Joshua? A little bit, yeah. All right. That's good. So what this author of this psalm is kind of unknown, but the thing that he's saying is, blessed is the man when you delight is in the law. Like, is there something that you delight in? Something that you're passionate about? That it's not just something like that you kind of, oh, I guess I'll get to that sometime. But a man whose delight is in the law. So that means that, like, God's word isn't just something that you, oh, yeah, I'll get to that sometime, but that your delight is in it. That it's something that you think about, that you meditate, that you think about it day and night. And that when you do that, that you prosper. And like Psalms 1:3 is one of my favorite verses. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. It yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaves do not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. They're a tree that's planted by the river, because the river is always flowing. That he doesn't have to worry when drought comes, but that the river is there and it's flowing. And he's always prospering, because when you put your roots into God's word, you don't have to worry about everything that happens in this life, because stuff's still going to happen, But the thing is, when you put your foundation in God's word and Jesus as your friend, stuff will still happen, but you'll still prosper and your leaves will still be green. And there's going to be difficulties, but that you'll be rooted in God's word and you'll have that living stream to give you water. Yeah. So that was what I wanted to say tonight. And yeah. Yay. So sweet. I'm just going to pray before you guys go to your groups, and then we head off to our groups. Guys, thank you for tonight. I thank you for who you are and how awesome you are. God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for these students and their desire to know more of you and their love for you, God. God, I pray for good discussion tonight in their groups. And yeah, thank you, Jesus. Amen.